I'll stay here, if you don't mind. I ought to witness the entire procedure, boring though it may be. She arched a brow at him. You want to make certain I don't do anything terrible to him? Jordan shook his head slightly. My dear, I'm sure you could do whatever you want to him while I'm watching you do it, and I wouldn't know that anything nefarious was going on. Her expression grew serious.
I'm not going to hurt him, Jordan.
I know, he said. But I should stay through the whole procedure. Then he smiled and added, Besides, it'll give me the chance to stay with you. She blushed slightly, but before she could reply, Thornberry re-entered the room.
Well, that's a load off me mind, he said.
So to speak. They all laughed. Aditi was wrong. It was anything but boring. Mapping Thornberry's brain took less than half an hour. Once she was satisfied with it, Aditi said to Thornberry,
You're going to go to sleep now.
Wish me pleasant dreams, why don't you?
Pleasant dreams, Dr. Thornberry,
Aditi said. Turning back to her keyboard, she murmured,
Now we deactivate the parietal cortex.
She tapped a key on the desktop, and Thornberry's eyes fluttered and closed. In a moment, he seemed deeply asleep, his chest rising regularly, his arms relaxed at his side. Watching the brain image on the wall screen intently, Aditi touched another key. Jordan turned his attention from her toward Thornberry. He could see the man's eyeballs moving rapidly behind their closed lids. REM sleep, Jordan realized. Deeply asleep, Thornberry stirred slightly, clenched his fists, and then opened them again. He muttered something incomprehensible.
Is this normal?
Jordan whispered. Aditi nodded, her eyes focused on the image of Thornberry's brain. It was flickering madly now, nerve impulses racing back and forth. Thornberry groaned softly and his arms tensed. His legs shifted as if he were straining to get up. Aditi touched another key, and Thornberry relaxed, his arms and legs going limp, his breathing deep and slow and regular. For a while nothing seemed to happen. But Jordan could see the three small sections of Thornberry's brain seemed to be glowing with activity. He wished he knew enough about brain physiology to tell what those sections were, what their functions might be. He thought a bright pink region near the base of Thornberry's brain might be the thalamus, but he wasn't sure. He recognized the frontal cortex, which seemed ablaze with neural activity. When he looked back at Thornberry, Jordan saw that the man's beefy face was swathed with perspiration. His body was arched with tension, and his eyes were still moving back and forth behind their closed lids. Jordan whispered again to Aditi,
Should I wipe his brow?
Don't touch him,
she hissed, without taking her eyes off the wall screen.
This is the most critical period of the download.
Biting his lip in apprehension, Jordan stared at Thornberry's struggling figure.
He looks like he's fighting demons, Jordan thought, like a soul being exorcised.
And then Thornberry relaxed again, totally, as limp as a flag on an utterly still day. His eye movements slowed, although they did not cease altogether. A crooked smile spread across his sweat-soaked face. Aditi turned in her desk chair toward Jordan.
It will be easier from here on. Everything's fine now.
What happened? He asked. What's going on? She drew in a breath, then explained,
It's quite natural for us to resist new ideas, especially if they conflict with what we already believe. Dr. Thornberry's brain was suddenly invaded by a massive dose of new concepts, and he instinctively resisted. Perfectly natural.
And you overcame his resistance? You forced him to accept?
No, not at all, Aditi said. The program merely repeated the new information until it became recognizable to his brain. It's the same process as ordinary classroom learning. It takes time to adapt to new knowledge and to accept it.
Jordan marveled. But you can do it in minutes instead of a whole semester. With a glance at her wristwatch, Aditi said,
It took more than an hour, Jordan.
He looked at his watch and saw that she was right. Still, he said,
He'll be fine, said Aditi. In another 90 minutes, 2 hours at most, he'll have absorbed everything the program has to tell him.
Jordan couldn't help wondering what else Thornberry's brain was being forced to absorb. Learning. As Thornberry slept on peacefully,
Jordan gave voice to his nagging doubts. Aditi, dear, I've got to ask you, if the physics program is all that I'm downloading into Dr. Thornberry's brain?
Yes, Jordan admitted, feeling awful about it. She turned her desk chair to face him.
That's all. It's quite enough. I had to map his brain first to see if he could accept such a massive amount of information.
I want to believe you, I really do.
I know you do, Jordan. And I know how difficult all this must be for you.
It's all so new. It takes time to adapt to new information. Her smile turned impish.
What did I tell you? You're going through the same process of adaptation that Dr. Thornberry's experiencing.
Except that he's doing it in a few hours while I'm taking much longer.
Wheeling her chair closer to him, Aditi said, You're not suggesting that I use brain stimulation to indoctrinate you, are you?
No, not at all.
That would be an ethical violation, Aditi said. We use brain stimulation to educate people, not to manipulate them.
Even if I asked you to? Even if I volunteered?
It's not allowed, she replied. We have our code of behavior. We're not monsters, no matter what Dr. Meek thinks.
Jordan gazed at her utterly earnest face. Your ethical standards are somewhat higher than ours. On Earth, the temptation to use direct brain stimulation to control people would be unbearable for some.
But not for you.
Nor for you. Her stern expression eased.
You trust us, Jordan. That's wonderful.
I trust you, Aditi.
That's even more wonderful.
I love you. She broke into a sunny smile.
That's the most wonderful thing of all.
But suddenly Jordan felt uneasy. My brother suggested that when the rest of us leave for home, I should stay here. Aditi's eyes widened.
Stay? Would you? Would you stay here with me? That would be fantastic.
I want to, he said. Then he heard himself add,
But,
she said, all that Adris told me, all that the predecessor told me, the human race is in danger, other races on other worlds.
It's a great responsibility for you, she said softly.
I can't turn my back on it. On them.
I know.
You could come with me, he blurted.
To Earth?
Yes, Jordan's mind raced. In fact, it would be an enormous help. You could be an ambassador, a representative of your people. One look at you and they'd see that we have nothing to fear from you.
Aditi gave him a skeptical look. Just as Dr. Meek sees he has nothing to fear?
Jordan's heart sank. Yes, you're right. There would be people on Earth who'd be frightened of you no matter what. For a few heartbeats, neither of them spoke. Thornberry snored softly on the couch, completely relaxed.
Then Aditi said, I'd go to Earth with you, Jordan.
He shook his head. There'd be danger there for you, fanatics, madmen. What they fear, they try to destroy.
You'd protect me.
No, it'd be too dangerous for you. You'd be much better off staying here.
Well, you went back to Earth?
I'd return for you. Then, realizing it took 80 years, he added uncertainly, Someday. Aditi reached out and took both Jordan's hands in hers.
No. I'll go to Earth with you.
But
I love you, Jordan. I'm not going to be parted from you. Not for anything.
He leaned toward her and kissed her. A fine thing, Thornberry called from the couch. Jordan flinched reflexively away from Aditi. She looked surprised, scooted her chair back toward her desk, and peered at the image of Thornberry's brain on the wall screen. You two smooching away while I'm trying to sleep. Thornberry was half sitting up, grinning at them, the headphones dangling lopsidedly.
Don't remove the transceivers just yet, please, Aditi called to Thornberry.
While he pushed the headphones back into place, she tapped on her desktop keyboard, then spun her chair around to face Thornberry.
Very good. The program is finished. You can get up now.
Thornberry yanked the headphones off and swung his legs off the edge of the couch. Well now, do I look any smarter to you? Jordan thought he looked totally normal, except that his wrinkled shirt was stained with perspiration. You look fine, Mitch, he said. How do you feel? Thornberry hesitated a moment. Pretty normal. Be sure it's a bit sticky, though. Then his beefy face broke into a broad smile.
but God.